From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls to cut inter-regional disparity in COVID-19 test capacity. Mexico issues world first sovereign bond linked to UN sustainability goals. Now the news and details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded his ranks to act promptly in lowering inter-regional disparity in terms of the capacity of COVID-19 tests conducted. As quoted by Taranus Agency, the head of state noted in his introduction at the limited meeting of the Committee on the Handling of COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery in Jakarta on Monday that with regard to testing, inter-regional disparity in the COVID-19 testing capacity should be minimized immediately. The president reminded that a situation should not arise wherein the number of COVID-19 tests conducted in some provinces is too high, while low numbers are still clocked in other provinces. On the occasion, the president also called for stepping up discipline among his ranks in implementing health protocols, particularly pertaining to the use of masks and maintaining physical distancing. President Joko Widodo called to desist from drawing comparisons between the COVID-19 handling mechanism in Indonesia, the world's largest archipelago, and those followed in other countries. As quoted by Taranus Agency on Monday, the president explained while chairing a limited cabinet meeting on the COVID-19 handling and economic recovery efforts at the Merdeka Palace on Monday, that he reminds his minister that Indonesia is an archipelagic nation. An understanding of the spread of COVID-19 is very important in dealing with the pandemic in Indonesia. It cannot be compared to those of other countries that are not island nations. The head of state urged the health ministers and committee for handling COVID-19 and the national economic recovery to direct their attention on handling COVID-19 so it would reflect positively on the numbers every week. Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin, representing the Indonesian government and the National Committee for Sharia Economy and Finance, received an advocacy award from the Global Islamic Finance Awards GIFA. The award was presented to the Vice President online from the Islamabad Marriott Hotel in Pakistan in the capacity as the organizer of GIFA Awards 2020. As reported by Taranus Agency, the Vice President during a video address from Jakarta on Monday noted that as the day-to-day Chief of National Committee for Sharia's Economy and Finance, he received this award on behalf of committee and the Indonesian government. Vice President Maruf Amin expressed his gratitude to the GIFA Award Committee for its trust and this award. The Vice President affirmed the award offers a stimulus to Indonesia to develop Sharia-compliant economic and financial activities in the wake of a host of present-day challenges. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Mexico on Monday issued what is described as the world's first sovereign bond link to the Sustainable Development Goals set by the United Nations, raising 750 million euros or $889.73 million. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, Deputy Finance Minister Gabriel Llorio said reducing inequality financial inclusion, and the gender gap were among the UN goals. He wrote on Twitter that Mexico is the first country to issue a sovereign bond that is linked to the sustainable development objectives of the UN. Mexico starts its sustainable finance program as a pioneer. The government did not specify how it would spend the money raised. The bond's preliminary investment prospectus cautions that there was no guarantee Mexico would make disbursement for projects that meet the UN characteristics. Climate change, a topic seldom debated during the 2020 U.S. presidential campaign, is having a moment in the spotlight due to the severe wildfires raging along the U.S. West Coast. As reported by BBC.com on September 15, while touring fire-ravaged California, Donald Trump downplayed the role a warming planet could have in the devastation, suggesting temperatures will start getting cooler, and that the recent conflagrations was a lack of proper forest management. Donald Trump said he does not think science knows actually, and science didn't agree with his conclusion. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, Joe Biden went on the attack, accusing Trump of ignoring a central crisis facing the nation. Australia's second most populous state, Victoria, the country's COVID-19 epicenter, on Tuesday reported zero deaths from the virus in the past 24 hours, a milestone not recorded for 2 months. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, Victoria's state said 42 people have been diagnosed with COVID-19 in the past 24 hours, a small increase from the figure posted 1 day earlier, and well below the peak of more than 700 infections detected in August. Victoria last recorded no COVID-19 deaths on July 13. The result will buy optimism that a stringent lockdown of nearly 5 million people for nearly 7 weeks has curtailed the spread of COVID-19. Melbourne, Australia's second most populated city, is on an extended hard lockdown until September 28. But with the steady fall in cases, some restrictions were relaxed from Monday, allowing people to leave their homes for longer periods for exercise, and authorities shortened a night curfew. New Zealand to lift coronavirus curbs in most of countries on September 21st. New Zealand will lift the coronavirus restriction across the countries on September 21st, except in its biggest city, Auckland, which is the epicenter of a second wave of infection. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said on Monday, as quoted by JakartaPost.com, the government will immediately ease all physical distancing requirements on planes, a boost for Air New Zealand, which has had to limit passengers on its planes for months. Jacinda Ardern stated that she knows this change will make a real difference to Air New Zealand and those parts of the country seeking increased numbers of visitors. A news conference in South Island city of Dunedin, where she is on an election campaign trip. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled COVID-19 Pandemic Jointly Faced Through Democracy. Every 15 September, the world commemorates International Democracy Day. In 2007, the General Assembly of the United Nations, UN, decided to mark 15 September as International Democracy Day with the aim of promoting and upholding democratic principles. The date was chosen in reference to the Universal Declaration on Democracy issued by the Inter-Parliamentary Union, IPU, on September 15, 1997. The Declaration affirms the principles of democracy, the elements and practices of democratic governance, and the scope of international democracy. Under normal circumstances, a democratic system makes citizens in democratic countries feel their rights as free human beings to think, express opinions, move, and develop themselves guaranteed. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic occurs. As the consequences, casualties cannot be avoided. The SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes the COVID-19 has spread throughout the world. Many governments are forced to adopt policies that are not democratic. The emergency situation forced them to take emergency measures as well. Strict physical restrictions, regulations are put into place to prevent wider spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. In Europe and the United States of America, the strict controls on the movement of citizens trigger protest because they are used to moving freely. Even though they have economic advantages and a good health system, many countries in the regions are helpless to face the COVID-19 pandemic. The number of victims in the region is bigger than the number of victims where the SARS-CoV-2 virus was first discovered in Wuhan in China. There is a dilemma between freedom and health. Conversely, the Chinese Communist government's decisive move to impose a total lockdown of Wuhan and several other cities has effectively accelerated the recovery of the situation. Indonesia is a large democracy. Until now, there have been no signs of the spread of COVID-19 shaking off. However, Indonesia does not face the same dilemma with other democratic countries. Indonesia faces a dilemma of saving the economy or health. Authoritarian power will not reduce the spread of the pandemic. In fact, it will make the hungry people revolt. The community empowerments currently carried out by the Indonesian government, such as reducing taxes for MSMEs, providing assistance worth 2 million rupiah for micro and small businesses, and grant worth 600,000 rupiah for low-income employees, are the most appropriate steps. The empowered community can do the right things to protect themselves without having to be under authoritarian control. With a democratic system, the trust and obedience of citizens to the governments also allow for a more effective response to the COVID-19 pandemic. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History on September 15, 1974, Air Vietnam Flight 706 accident. Air Vietnam Flight 706 crashed on September 15, 1974, near Phan Rang Air Base in South Vietnam, after taking off from Da Nang International Airport in South Vietnam on a regular scheduled flight to Saigon Tan So Nhat International Airport. The flight was hijacked by Luduc Tan, who had two grenades. He was a soldier in the South Vietnamese Army who was demoted from captain to lieutenant for being involved in a car theft. He demanded to be flown to Hanoi in North Vietnam. For unknown reason, the pilot approached the airfield at Phan Rang Air Base but cancelled the landing. Shortly afterward, the plane crashed to the ground from an altitude of 1,000 feet, killing all 75 passengers and crew. Let's move on to September 15, 2008. International Democracy Day was celebrated for the first time. In 2007, the UN General Assembly decided to celebrate September 15 as International Day of Democracy with the aim of promoting and upholding democratic principles. The date was chosen, referring to the Universal Declaration on Democracy issued by the Inter-Parliamentary Union IPU on September 15, 1997. The declaration affirms the principles of democracy, the elements and practices of democratic governance, and the scope of international democracy. I'll end Today in History with September 15, 2017, when Parsons Green train bombing happens. On September 15, 2017, at around 8:20 a.m. local time, an explosion occurred on a District Line train at the Parsons Green Underground Station, London, England. 30 people were treated in hospitals or emergency care centers, mostly for burns by pocket bombs with timers containing the explosive chemical TATP, or tracetan triperoxide. Police arrested the main suspect, 18-year-old Iraqi refugee Ahmed Hassan, in the departures area of the port of Dover the following day, and then raided several addresses, including the foster home of an elderly couple in Sunbury on Thames, where Hassan was staying. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Semboyan kami ang kasawan RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia. See you.
sebagai alat perjuangan dan alat evolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia. Dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur, serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semboyan kami Angkasa One RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Aku yang tak bisa melepaskan
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fishery reminds fisheries export opportunities to China are opened widely. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries KKP of the Republic of Indonesia reminds Indonesian maritime and fisheries sector business people that fisheries commodity export to China are now open more widely. Secretary of the Fish Quarantine, Quality Control and Safety of Fisheries Products, BIKPM, at the KKP, Hari Mariyadi, in a written statement stated in Jakarta on Sunday, as quoted by Antaranus agency, said that currently China is recovering from the recession and there are wide opportunities to the Chinese market. According to Hari, currently Indonesian fishery products have been accepted in 158 countries in the world, and one of the biggest export markets for Indonesian fisheries products is China. In addition, 664 fish processing units, or UPI, have been registered as exporters in the countries. Hari Mariyadi also explained that based on data from China's customs, Indonesia was ranked the fourth highest exporters of fishery products to China in the period of January to May 2020. The performance of the fishery sectors in the first half of 2020 showed a promising graph, such as an increase in export value recorded 6.9% or $2.4 billion compared to the same period in 2019. Meanwhile, the import values in the first semester of 2020 was $0.2 billion or decreased by 5.9% compared to the same period in 2019. Then data from the Indonesian Central Statistics Agency's BPS also shows that in the first semester of 2020, the maritime and fisheries sector's trade balance experienced a surplus worth $2.2 billion or an increase of 8.3% compared to semester 2019. Previously, the KKP provided trainings related to negotiations and diplomacy, such as how to maintain and improve the export market for its official amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, head of the Fish Quarantine Agency Quality Control and Safety of Fishery Products at KKP, Rina, said that her side wants to improve the capabilities of the apparatus, especially in supporting the improvement and effectiveness of foreign cooperation in the field of fish quarantine, quality control, and safety of fishery products. According to Rina, this is important because food safety and cross-border disease are two issues of competition for food availability globally. She also explained that to commonly get the best products, developed countries as consumers create technical barriers or regulatory barriers, such as through the application of strict technical requirements, and this can make it difficult for exporting countries, including Indonesia. Thereby, it is necessary to enhance the knowledge and ability of the technical ministry apparatuses in the process of negotiations or diplomacy in international forum. Rina further emphasized that this is very significant so that technical matters can be conveyed properly and improve Indonesia's bargaining position, especially in international forum. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling,
people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Hello, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about gogoro, penyalam culinary. When you're traveling to Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, don't forget to taste the typical culinary of local people, namely Banjar tribe. Banjar tribe has a variety of delicious local culinary. There are soto Banjar, sate Banjar, and ketupat kandangan. For snacks, the Banjar tribe has also popular cakes, namely bingka and gogoro benyalam. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to know about gogoro benyalam culinary. In Banjar language, gogoro means banana. So, gogoro benyalam culinary is made from banana. From its appearance, you can see slices of banana mixed with thick coconut milk. Besides banana, gogoro benyalam is also made from other ingredients such as wheat flour, sugar, chicken eggs, thick coconut milk, salt, vanilla, food coloring, and pandan leaves. To make the cake is quite easy. Firstly, the thick coconut milk is mixed with food coloring, salt, vanilla, and sugar. Then it is boiled. Slices of banana are then dipped in boiling thick coconut milk. After that, it is just mixed with eggs and stir. To make this culinary look beautiful, it is usually add small pieces of pandan leaves on top of banana slices. Gogoro penyalam more tasty when it is eaten warm. This culinary is very delicious to eat in the afternoon with a cup of tea. Find this culinary at traditional stores in Banjarmasin City. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali diudara, tetap diudara.
Seberapa pantaskah kau untuk ku tunggu? Cukup indah karirmu untuk selalu ku nantikan. Mampukah kau hadir dalam setiap mimpi burukku? Oh, mampukah kita bertahan di saat kita jauh?
Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan?
Hanya kau yang benar-benar aku tunggu, hanya kau yang benar-benar memahami. dirimu untuk selalu kuandalkan. Mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang? Oh, sanggupkah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang?
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Belajar Memasak. Belajar Memasak. Or in English, Learning to Cook. Next, I will give a sample of conversation on learning to cook in the boarding house. Siti teaches Kevin to cook fried rice with instant spice.
Minyak di wajan sudah panas, Siti.
Masukkan bumbu instannya sekarang, Kevin.
Semuanya?
Iya, semua.
Lalu?
Lalu, masukkan nasinya. Kemudian, aduk merata dengan bumbu.
Baiklah.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely belajar memasak, which means learning to cook. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Minyak, minyak, which means oil. Wajan, wajan, which means wok. Masukkan, masukkan, which means enter. Semua, semua, which means all. Bumbu instan, bumbu instan, which means instant seasoning. Lalu, lalu, which means then. Kemudian, kemudian, which means then. Cara membuat nasi goreng. Cara membuat nasi goreng, which means how to make fried rice. Masukkan minyak. Masukkan minyak, which means enter the oil. Nasi. Nasi, which means rice. Mudah. Mudah, which means easy. Aduk merata. Aduk merata, which means mix evenly. When you want to teach someone how to make something, give them sequential directions. To indicate a sequential process, use the word lalu. Lalu, which means then, or kemudian. Kemudian, which also means then or after that. The order you teach must not be reversed. If someone asks, bagaimana cara membuat nasi goreng? Bagaimana cara membuat nasi goreng, which means how do you make fried rice? Then you can teach by saying panaskan minyak, lalu masukkan bumbu instan di wajan, kemudian masukkan nasi. Panaskan minyak, lalu masukkan bumbu instan di wajan, kemudian masukkan nasi, which means heat the oil, then put the instant seasoning in the wok or pan, then enter the rice. You can also add by saying, mudah bukan? Setelah itu, jangan lupa aduk nasinya hingga merata dengan bumbu. Mudah bukan? Setelah itu, jangan lupa aduk nasinya hingga merata dengan bumbu, which means easy, isn't it? After that, don't forget to mix the rice with the seasoning evenly. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the sample conversation one more time.
Minyak di wajan sudah panas, Siti.
Masukkan bumbu instannya sekarang, Kevin.
Semuanya?
Iya, semua.
Lalu?
Lalu, masukkan nasinya. Kemudian, aduk merata dengan bumbu.
Baiklah.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll meet you in another different topic. Sampai jumpa!
Bernyanyi mewarnai. moving on. Namun kini ku kembali, coba nikmati indahnya dunia. Tiada lagi bayangan dirimu yang selalu mencoba menahanku. Bersama mentari ku bernyanyi, mewarnai hari-hari. Bersama pelangi
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song entitled Lampayan Bunga sung by Said Effendi. The song, which was composed by Ismail Marzuki, tells about homesick and hope to come home soon. The lyrics of the song are very poetic with slow tempo music. Not only sung by Said Effendi, the song Lampayan Bunga has also been sung by other singers in different genres, such as Kroncong music genre. Said Effendi, known as Malam music artist in the 1950s to 1970s. He brought the song entitled Seroja and popularizing up to Malaysia. Besides a composer and singer, he was also an actor. Let's listen to the song Lampayan Bunga sung by Said Effendi. Enjoy the song.
Sana di lembah tanah airku melambai bunga sekuntum berseri mewangi menghiasi
listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.